Hello and welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com and presented by Bet365. I'm Jason Logan. That guy there is Todd Furman. It is NFL Championship Sunday. Well, at least it will be on Sunday, not really. All right, now, but this is the championship edition of the Sharp 600. Just two games, Todd. Some really, really interesting matchups and a lot going on. We're going to dig into both games, spread total. We're going to look at touchdown scores for both games. And, of course, we're going to wrap things up, as we always do on the Sharp 600, with our 2 minute drill best bets for the weekend. I do have to ask, like I said, just two games, which means these are the most efficient spreads, totals, lines, props, whatever we've faced all year.
In theory.
Okay. But also, too, we get the full brunt of sports media crashing down on just two games. So there is no shortage of analysis. There's no shortage of opinion and takes and data on whatever it is you're interested in this game. You can find some sort of information on that. And that means a lot of noise and possibly a little paralysis by analysis. If you had to give me three factors or elements that bettors should really focus on or put weight in above all else to cancel out the noise, what would those be here heading into Championship Sunday?
That's a phenomenal question, and I think to your point, I mean, we always go in assuming that these markets are going to be the most efficient, but there are questions that have to be answered for all four of these football teams. And when you look at the Denver Broncos, I know we're going to get there in greater detail. It's how do you think the Broncos offense looks with Jarrett Stidham taking over for Bo Nix? How does the Seattle Seahawks ground game look without Zach Charbonnet? Is it going to be Kenneth Walker putting more on his plate, or are we going to see an equal distribution of carries? And the wear and tear of a Los Angeles Rams team that now plays their third game on the road in as many weeks, how that'll unfold, or I think the stat that might surprise some people, J-Lo, look, we want to throw the baby out with the bathwater for the way C.J. Stroud performed this postseason for the Houston Texans. He finished in the divisional round with a higher QBR than Drake May. Can Drake May look like the quote-unquote MVP candidate going on the road against this Denver Broncos defense? So a lot of interesting factors and elements, and I think there's as much unknown for these two games that remain as known commodities, which hopefully gives us an opportunity to make a few bucks as that sand continues to go through that football hourglass with only three games left on the schedule.
That's right, and only three podcasts left here because we're going to do this one. We're going to have two for Super Bowl. So before we do wrap up the year, if you haven't already, if you've been listening to us all year, if you just found us, go rate and review the podcast. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you're following our picks. Let us know if you enjoy what we're doing and what you want to hear more of. Do that on those podcast platforms. If you're watching us on YouTube, that's a growing audience each week. Thanks to the good work that Chris is doing, editing, putting a nice visual, making us look good, essentially, Todd, is what Chris is doing.
And it takes a lot. It takes a lot to make us look good. It is a full-time job for producer Chris behind the scenes.
That's right. But that YouTube following is growing as well, too. If you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel. Like Super Bowl coming up, now that we're on the other side of college football, a lot more focus on things like basketball, college basketball, hockey, some golf as well, too. Like and subscribe there on YouTube and comment and let us know what you're betting this Championship Sunday. All right, let's go. Two games, 600 seconds for Championship Sunday. AFC Championship, Broncos hosting the Patriots. Okay, we've hinted at this. We got to talk about it. The Bo Nix impact. Look ahead lines were Broncos -1.5 before the injury. I saw some respected odds makers as well saying they would have set this game as high as Broncos -3. After the injury, the look ahead goes to 4.5. That's where this one opens. We saw it go up as high as 6 Sunday night. We saw buyback on the Broncos. Seen anywhere from 4.5 to 5.5 right now. The big question is Bo Nix worth this much? I've heard some odds makers polled say he's worth around 4 points, which would be beyond this like 6-point stretch. What do you agree with that movement? What are you looking at here?
I actually think Bo Nix has proven to be worth a little bit more than what I would have said he was to the Denver Broncos overall power number coming into the season. So I'm a little bit more in line with that 4.5 or 5 range. I've seen some pretty prominent articles for friends in the industry saying that they made it sub-4 leading into the season. But this is a Broncos offense that's really lacked a little bit of an identity in the ground game without J.K. Dobbins. Bo Nix has had to take on more responsibilities as the consummate point guard spreading the football around. And this week, the Broncos could be down as many as 2 key cogs in addition to Bo Nix in their pass-catching group. We'll see if J.K. Dobbins is ready and available. But J-Lo, you know as well as I do, this time of year, public perception plays a major role. And so you have to make wholesale changes The Patriots, they haven't looked great in dispatching the Los Angeles Chargers or the Houston Texans en route to getting here. But at the same time, Drake May carries a lot more name cachet than Jarrett Stidham will under center. And you do have a level of familiarity. Jarrett Stidham spent some time playing for the New England Patriots while Josh McDaniels was the offensive coordinator. So it's a 6 degrees of separation, Kevin Bacon style, as it pertains to the quarterback spot this weekend.
Yeah, and I think I look at this offense and say, you know what, it's not that big of a dip, at least from what Bo Nix was doing in the passing game. We talked about this last week with Bo. I took Bo Nix under on his passing numbers. It didn't get there, but this offense is very simplistic. It does not throw beyond the sticks that much. They focus a lot on yards after the catch. So I don't think they're going to be taking – I don't think it has to change too much with Stidham. They don't have to kind of – you know, dumb this down for him. And you look at his, I mean, it was preseason defenses, but I would say he has a more confident arm, at least throwing downfield, than I have seen from Bo Nix. The running game, his ability to make plays when things break down, not as dangerous as Nix. But
J-Lo. Go ahead. Go ahead and share your perspective.
All right. All I was going to say, I did take the Broncos +5.5 in my underdogs column. I'm not in love with either underdog, but I do see, like you said, public perception maybe skewing things a little more than they should be. Go.
Yeah, I think the value side look is the Broncos here. There were some sixes out there. Those got cleaned up pretty quickly throughout the betting market. But I think the other element that people haven't necessarily talked about, given the quarterback concerns, this Broncos defense isn't nearly as good right now as what it was expected to be coming into the year. So I think some of the adjustment that you're seeing in the overall power number here, you can make the case that this may be a step down for the New England Patriots in terms of the opposing defense, albeit in hostile territory, than what they faced in a Charger stop unit that completely bottled up the Broncos in Week 18, where they had waved the white towel, or what the Houston Texans did. So a lot of elements in that regard, that this Broncos defense has taken on a little bit more of that boom or bust mentality. I think they're good against the pass. I think they're a little bit vulnerable against the run. But for me right now, in current form, I do not have this Broncos stop unit nearly as highly graded as I would have coming back week one when you just looked at that overall personnel.
All right. Total seen some movement too. That look-ahead total was 45.5 after the injury, 40.5. We saw it open around 41, 41.5 on Sunday. It's up to 42.5. I took the under 41.5 thinking I was getting a great one just, you know, on the happy side of that key number. But agreeing with, is this faith in Stidham or there's faith in the Pats offense that has kind of bumped it up to 42.5?
I think it's just a number that was probably a little bit too low for a game that could be played in perfect conditions there. Yeah. And as we saw over the divisional weekend, you almost need more to go right in the modern NFL with teams of this caliber to go under a total that low than you need to go wrong. This coming from someone who had first half under in the Texans-Patriots game, came back in with a little bit of a live bet at under 50.5, but it was turnovers that doomed that game more so than anything else. So you want these teams to play clean football, get out to the 40 or 50 and punt it, more so than creating short fields. And it always things seems to be that variable that if turnovers are going to occur, you're hoping they happen in the green zone instead of in the shadow of your own goalposts.
All right. Now that we're on the theme of turnovers, let's talk NFC Championship, because the two games between the Rams and the Seahawks littered with turnovers, a lot from Sam Darnold, a lot of variance in those sort of things. People want to immediately go back and look at those games. What can and can we take away from that, considering we're looking at a pretty tight spread here? Open 2.5. We saw the it went up to 3. Charbonnet injury comes out. It drops down to 2.5. Third matchups, there's no secrets with these teams right now. But a lot of strange results in those first two meetings between the Rams and Seahawks. Is there anything we can take from those games and bring it into this championship game?
A lot of narrative that how much differently are we looking at this particular matchup if the Rams don't blow a 16-point lead and get buoyed by special teams, which has kind of been their Achilles heel down the stretch. And when we go back to the first meeting between these teams, the Seahawks, in my opinion, were the better football team that day. They were just done in, as you said, by short fields and still had a chance to win it with a long field goal at the bell. So I think you want to look at the full body of work. Don't become enamored with what we've seen lately. And that's the Seahawks beating up not once, but twice over the last 3 weeks against the 49ers. This is going to be a step up in class against a much healthier edition of the Rams than what they saw at a division rival in San Francisco.
The total for this one, I also went under 47 in this one. The total for this one, a little bit surprising considering how good that Seahawks defense is. And also, too, the way that Seattle has been running the ball and how well their offensive line has been playing. Losing Charbonnet is a hit there. Walker is a guy who has stepped up anyway and run the ball really well. Any thoughts on the total here? I see kind of a ground-centric game, especially if Sam Darnold is still limited by that oblique. I don't think they want him throwing much downfield, if he can, with that injury.
And I'm with you. I think the only way to look is trying to make a case to go under the total. I think this one is going to have a lot more of the feel that we saw the first time around, between these two teams in a game that got extremely loose on a short week on a Thursday night. I do expect Sean McVay to be in his bag a little bit more calling plays offensively, openly admitting that he never felt that he had good control or grasp in terms of what they needed to do. But we saw how dynamic the Rams could be running the football. I'm not sure Matthew Stafford is 100% either. Mm-hmm. So I'll echo your sentiments. I think this total north of that key number 47 is a bit aggressive.
All right. Liking that one as well, too. Yeah, under 47, just under that key number. Time for some anytime touchdown bets. Odds, of course, provided by Bet365. I'm going to start AFC. I'm going to go Marvin Mims. We talked about those receiving injuries to Franklin and Bryant, and that could bump Mims up the depth chart there. He had a great divisional round game. 8 catches on 8 targets, 26-yard touchdown catch. Much stronger versus man, and that's what he's going to face against the Patriots here. So I like Mims to get in, plus 425. And then in the NFC game, going Rashid Shaheed with Charbonnet out. Shaheed could have a bigger involvement in the run game. We've seen him get carries since coming over at the trade deadline. He's also a downfield threat. We have seen the Rams secondary give up some big home run plays. So I like Shaheed, plus 350 to get in.
I like Shaheed to be a guy that get a carry or two, to your point. But I didn't see that prop while available. Going to have to scour as we get closer to kickoff.
It's out there.
I'll have to start in the AFC as well. And I'm going to take a slot receiver for the Patriots. He's a guy that may not catch a single ball in the game, but at 14-1, I'm going to take a flyer on Efton Chisholm to be that guy that Drake May could lean into. I think it's going to be tougher than to move the ball on the outside, knowing how buttoned up the Broncos have been, at least at the CB1 and CB2 spot. So Chisholm for me. And in the afternoon game between the Rams and Seahawks, look, J-Lo, I'm going to take long shots. You know what? I'm going to bend the rules here and take two guys. Terrence Ferguson, plus 650 at the tight end position. Tyler Higbee feels like the odd man out if they're going to run heavier sets in this spot. I think Ferguson can be the pass-catching guy, played his college football in the Pacific Northwest. A little bit of symmetry there. And Kanata Mumfield, another guy that I'll look at 20-1. Of course, not full positions on any of these. A little bit of a dart toss. If one of these three come home, we're able to make a few bucks on Championship Sunday.
2-minute drill time. Odds provided by Bet365. Todd, do you the honors? Get us started.
Oh, look, J-Lo, I was trying to come in with a top line side or total on either of these games. Unfortunately, our friends at Bet365 didn't give me the 3 on the Rams, so I'm going to reverse engineer and get into the derivative market. I'm going to take the Seahawks team total under 24.5. I know the Rams defense has been much bandied about being their weakness, and the secondary is still a concern. But at the same time, I think this is a group that is going to see the opportunity here to raise its level of play. You heard in the post-game press conference how the defense felt disrespected, and they performed admirably against the Bears. You mentioned that Sam Darnold still dealing with that oblique injury. Look, he wasn't tested, wasn't forced to throw down the field at all. If Seattle gets bottled up in the ground game, I think it's going to be hard for them to hit the explosives. I'll take the Seahawks team total under 24.5.
All right, I'm going to go R.J. Harvey over 18.5 receiving yards, minus 110. His role in the receiving game took a surge when Dobbins went down, but he has drawn 4 more targets in 5 of the final 6 games of the regular season. He had 6 targets against the Bills last week, and Denver's passing playbook is pretty simple. Even with Stidham in there, they're going to be looking for short and easy hits. The Pats run stop, I think they sell out, try to put it in Stidham's hands. And Harvey's projections as high as like 21-plus for this one.
And I think Harvey adds a lot more in the way of a dynamic as a pass catcher than he does as a runner for sure. So echo your sentiments. Player props for me for this market, and I looked at the backfield, got real close on Ramondre Stevenson over 11.5 carries, but decided to go in a different direction because when in doubt, J-Lo, I love an under. And I'm going to go right back to that Seahawks game, and I'm going to take Kenneth Walker under 88.5 rushing yards. Look, people automatically assume that he's going to pick up an increased workload without Zach Charbonnet, but this is a Seahawks team that hasn't given him more than 63% of a snap share all season. I know the stakes are a little bit different here, but we could see some George Halani. We could see some Rashid Shaheed. Mm-hmm. I think Walker gets bottled up here. I'm going to take him under 88.5 rushing yards.
All right. I'll keep it quick here. Going Stafford over 1.5 passing touchdowns, minus 130. Rarely do we see him have a total at 1.5 for his passing touchdowns. In fact, in the last 10 games, the only time that has been this low was against Seattle. And he threw for 3 touchdowns in that game. He threw for 2 touchdowns in their first meeting. This is definitely a taller total to me, 47.5. I like the under, but what it says is negative game script. The game and the everything is on Stafford's shoulders. I see some heroics from him. I like him to throw for 2 or more touchdowns in this one, minus 130. All right, there we go. One more podcast down, 2 left. I know, you're shaking your head. It's crazy.
Season ends way too quickly. I know we complain off air because that's who we are, grumpy old men at this point. But, you know, a week after Super Bowl, we're going to go, man, you know what? I wish we had a little bit of preseason football to keep us entertained for the next couple months. But this is the dog days of the season. Yeah. The grind is real. Thankfully, we've had some outstanding games to get us across the finish line. And let's hope the tandem that we have this coming Sunday are going to be a couple of close football games as well.
Mm-hmm. It looks like they're going to be good. I'm really interested to see how that Denver game plays out. But yeah, a big thanks to Chris behind the scenes, as we mentioned, making us look good, especially on that YouTube channel. Thank you, Todd, for coming in, sharing your insights. Big thanks to Bet365 for providing the odds. And thank you to you for listening or watching again, if you've just found us or are staying with us all year. Quick reminder, like, subscribe on YouTube, comment on YouTube, rate and review on the podcast platforms. We want to hear what you're betting this weekend. Todd, Super Bowl odds. Our diverse ecosystem. They're going to come out Sunday night. We're going to have 2 weeks for this market to mature. Things are going to pile up on top of each other. There's no shortage of options. Is it better for people to run to the window right away on these opening numbers, or is it okay to take a breath? Also, plenty of Super Bowl odds, early stuff up already. You can bet on MVP. You can bet on touchdown scorers right now. Is there value in taking some of those early games before we actually get who is in the big game?
So I think it's okay to take a beat when you're looking at a lot of the player prop markets. I know you'll be going through Bad Bunny's entire musical catalog looking to try and identify an edge there with some of the entertainment props. You'll be actively studying Gatorade usage deployed over the last 20 Super Bowls as well. But you mentioned the MVP. You mentioned the MVP market, and I think if people have a strong conviction about one of the games this weekend and think that they have an inside track for a potential participant that's going to be in the game, you're going to get a number that may be a little bit better than what you'll see closer to kickoff. But if you're looking further down the board and you're going to bet a guy at 15-1 now who may open at 10-1 once we know who's actually in the game, take a beat. You'll be okay. But given some of the questions that we have about the quarterback position, for I'll say 3 out of the 4 teams, no disrespect meant to Drake May, but the Rams correlated to Matthew Stafford, I think the other trio of teams that could win the Lombardi Trophy may not necessarily have to coordinate their quarterback to get the job done. So if you're looking for a long shot or two and you believe that the Patriots are the team that gets there, maybe it's Ramondre Stevenson, maybe it's Travion Henderson, or a player a little bit further down the board to start to build out that portfolio accordingly.
All right. Good advice. Keep that in mind on Sunday night. Otherwise, keep us in mind next Wednesday. We're going to be back with the first of 2 Super Bowl 60 podcasts. We're going to talk about the opening numbers, any early bets that we like. We'll dig a little bit into the fun stuff. We'll get a little silly, as Todd likes to do. I know you've got massive, massive volumes of money coming in on Bad Bunny this week, just ready to strike. But until then, best of luck with your championship bets.